Chapter 10. Alec Blows Up. I should have been the town hero for what happened next. But when you're pegged, you're pegged. And if people want to, they can see the worst intentions and the best of acts. I spent the next lunch period alone in the library. It was one of those cold, windy days when few kids would brave the walk to Salerno's. Most everyone was down in the cafeteria, and that's not where I wanted to be. I didn't want to see Alec, didn't want to think about him, so I sat, studying world history, idly wondering if it could teach me anything about how to avoid bad situations. Unfortunately, all history taught me was that bad situations tended to get worse and worse until an awful lot of people were dead. That's when OP sort of staggered into the library. The worried look was plastered as prominently across her face as the campaign flyers in the hallways. She sat down across from me, not saying anything, waiting for me to ask the obvious question. "What's up, OP?" "Somebody slipped this into my backpack," she said, and handed me a piece of paper. Scrawled on it, in a handwriting I could barely read, were the words, "We're on your side." "Who's we?" I asked. She shook her head. "I don't know, but that's not all." She looked around, like a spy about to hand some crucial microfilm, and then flipped the paper over to reveal that a note had been scribbled on a medical form, the kind that the school nurse kept in her office for every student. This one had been filled out, and the name on the form was Alex Smarts. "Someone gave you Alex's medical info?" I asked, not quite getting it. "I don't know what it means," she said, looking more worried than the time she forgot to study for a science exam. "But I'm beginning to think that maybe you were right about things starting all over again. And that maybe this note wasn't meant for just me. Maybe it was meant for the whole Shadow Club. But what does it have to do with Alex's medical record?" OP shrugged. I read through Alex's medical form 3 times. Like I said, I'm not that great with details, but on the third pass, I caught it. At first, I refused to believe that anyone would stoop so low, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized that the only thing on that sheet of paper could be used against Alec. OP must have seen it in my face. "What is it?" I handed back the piece of paper, feeling the tiny hairs on my arms and legs begin to rise, even though the library was oppressively warm. "Alec's allergic to penicillin." I bolted out of there before I could see OP's reaction. I raced down the hall, bursting into the stairwell, taking 4 steps at a time. I knocked a kid down and I crashed into the first floor hallway. The cafeteria was at the far end, and I ran toward it, pulling all my speed and strength into my legs. I felt the same sense of futility I had 4 months earlier when I watched Austin Pace race barefoot toward a jagged pile of rocks and wait for him. Back then, I knew I wasn't fast enough to catch up with him, to stop him. That's exactly how I felt now. I ran into the cafeteria door with full force of my body. Someone caught behind the door yelped, but I never saw him. Instead, I scoured the crowded room for Alec. He was in the far corner, surrounded by his close friends and bodyguards, an unlikely inner circle that ranged from the brawny likes of Giorgio to the Weasley Calvin Horner, who was responsible for Alec's nomination, and was probably the spy that took the video. Then I saw Alec reach for a bottle of orange soda. He had given up Dr. Pepper and anything that reminded him of it for obvious reasons. He probably assumed drinking from the bottle was safer than from a cup. After all, anyone can mess with a cup. But he was cautious enough to listen for the telltale hiss as the soda was opened to make sure that it hadn't been tampered with. I pushed my way through the crowds, knocking over kids in my way. The sound of crashing trays gained everyone's attention, but I couldn't worry about that now. Weaving between tables and leaping over chairs like a hurdler, I finally reached him. I tried to slow down, but lost my balance, nailing my gut against the side of the table. Alec had his head tilted back, guzzling the orange soda, and I reached out and slammed it out of his hands. "Hey, what the—" It splashed over all the kids around him before landing on the floor, spilling out on the green linoleum. "Are you nuts?" Alec yelled. "Have you totally lost your mind?" I didn't have time for questions. "Was it flat?" I asked. "Huh?" "The soda. Was it flat when you opened it?" He just looked at me blankly, so I got down on my hands and knees, running my thick fingers through the sticky orange liquid. I wasn't sure what I was searching for. Maybe undissolved granules within the soda that fizzed between my fingers. I grabbed the bottle that still spun on the floor. Nothing inside but a few drops of soda. I drank it. It tasted normal. Untainted. I took a deep breath and welcomed breath of relief. When I looked up, about a dozen kids were staring down at me. For a moment, I locked eyes with Austin Pace, who was now part of Alex's entourage. What's the old expression? My enemy's enemy is my friend? The two of them must have been getting along famously. He's insane, said Austin. He's gone completely off the deep end. I don't think he was all there to begin with, Alex said. My camouflage pants had now absorbed enough of the soda to be orange from the knees down, and my hands were still dripping the stuff. I came to the sudden realization that in my entire life, I had never looked quite so stupid. I wished I could have been anywhere else in the world right then. Are you having fun? Alec asked. I stood up, trying to avoid eye contact with the kids around me, and reached into my pocket, pulling out a crumpled dollar bill. Sorry, I said, handing him the dollar. Buy yourself a new soda. He threw the bill back at me. I don't want your stupid money. I want to know what this is all about. I opened my mouth to tell him, but quickly shut it again. I had overreacted, and I knew that now. I had drawn the wrong conclusion from that medical report, and I looked silly enough without trying to explain the details of my stupidity. I just thought that there was something wrong with your soda. That's all. I don't like your mind games, Mercer. Yeah, get lost, said Austin. Yeah, echoed Brett Whately, who stood with his arms crossed, trying to fill his role as the bodyguard. Alex sat back down, dismissing me like a fly he had swatted away. Better clean that up, he said, chowing down on his chili. But getting back down on all fours again was an indignity I wasn't going to endure. I turned, fully prepared to make my escape from this painful situation, until I heard something that stopped me in my dig tracks. Ugh, Alex said. What do they make this chili out of, anyway? Cigarette butts and coffee grounds? I turned to see Moose take a taste of his own chili. Mine tastes fine. Alec took a second spoonful. Barely edible, he said. I moved towards them again, and this time dipped my finger into his chili and tasted it. Moose got up, ready to hurl me through the wall like a nightclub bouncer. But Moose was the least of my concerns now, because Alex's chili had a distinctly bitter, chalky taste. Alec, how allergic are you to penicillin? Suddenly, he began to take me far more seriously than he had a moment before. Why? But I could already tell that he was starting to feel uncomfortable, and though as he had a slight fever coming on, his face was beginning to flush. We've got to get you out of here. We've got to get you to the nurse office. I could see in his face the moment that it clicked. His eyes were panicked and accusing. What did you do? There wasn't time to explain. His lips were beginning to get puffy. I knew what an allergic reaction was like. I was allergic to bees. I had been stung 3 times in my life, and each time my reaction got worse. Now, they were more dangerous for me than a rattlesnake or black widow spider bite. There was an adrenaline injector in the office with my name on it. I don't know if a shot of adrenaline worked on penicillin the way that it worked on bee stings, but the nurse would have to know. Alec began to walk towards the cafeteria door, his eyes swelling in tears of fear. He wasn't walking fast enough, so I grabbed his arm and pulled him. He didn't shake me off. He let me part the gawking onlookers who were probably wondering what on earth that maniac Jared Mercer was up to. By the time we got to the office, Alex's face was blotchy, and he looked as though somebody was slowly pumping him up with air. It wouldn't be long before his whole body became one huge, swollen hive. I could feel him quivering as I pulled him past the counter towards the nurse's office. You're not allowed back here, said the school secretary. Ignoring her, we burst into the nurse's office, and miraculously, the nurse was actually there, in the middle of lunch. She looked up with the linguine hanging out of her mouth. Allergic reaction, I shouted. Penicillin! My God, she was quick to react. She called out to the secretary to dial 911, and Alex settled into a chair, his knees shaky. I wasn't quite sure that this was part of the reaction or just his fear. How much did he ingest? How long ago? A lot, just now. You need an adrenaline injector? Mine's here somewhere. I tried to find it, but ended up knocking over a shelf full of medical stuff. Go talk to the emergency operator. Tell them what you told me. Then she pushed me out of the door. It didn't take very long for word of this to get around school. Just about everyone knew about the incident by the time the ambulance arrived and took Alec away. Everyone knows you did it, taunted Brett Waitley, who sat behind me in science. Just because you chickened out at the last moment and tried to stop it doesn't mean you're not guilty. And I knew the whole school felt the same way. After all, who else but the person who did it could have known that it was his food spiked with penicillin? And me, with my new set of clothes, my attitude, how could they draw any other conclusion? I couldn't find OP to get me off the hook with the note she'd gotten, and I figured she was too scared to get anywhere near this now. I kept looking around to see if there was anyone fidgeting, someone feeling the weight of the guilt for what they'd done, or someone irritated that I got all the credit. I'd compiled about 15 possible suspects in my notebook. Half of them I had already crossed off, and the other half, I was still uncertain. There was nothing to do but run. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody, and although I didn't want to be alone with my own thoughts either, I figured by running I could outdistance them a little bit. If I could focus my attention on the pounding of my feet and the rhythm of my breathing, maybe I could stop thinking for a few minutes. I cut class, ditching a math test, and took to the streets. I didn't know where I was going, and I didn't follow my usual path. I just ran. I ran down Pine Street, where there was nothing but winter-dead sycamores. I ran past Salerno's, empty at this off hour of the afternoon. I ran to the marina towards the Ghosties, but I didn't want to go into that old boat graveyard. So I turned around and doubled back, taking the road that wound around the jagged shoreline. I just kept weaving for what seemed like hours. I could take a lie detector test, I thought, and prove to them that I was telling the truth. But I had to face the fact that nothing I said would prove anything, because people beat lie detector tests. Sociopaths could lie without a blip, so it wouldn't prove my innocence. It would only confirm what Green had already thought he knew about me. I began to wonder why we were made so people couldn't get into your head. Outside of your own thoughts, there was no such thing as truth. Only what other people thought was true. I was so wrapped up in my own thoughts, I didn't even notice the car pulling up beside me until the window rolled down and I heard the driver's voice. Get in. It was so flat, so void of any familiar emotion, I didn't recognize it at first. I turned sharply, almost stumbling, and saw my father. I heard the power locks pop up. Get in, he said again. I stopped running, and the car slowed to a stop a few yards ahead of me. For a moment, I considered turning around and running off in the other direction. I could ditch into the woods. He wouldn't be able to follow me then. And then I thought, how long has he been driving through town looking for me? Our town is pretty big. The thought of my father driving around for hours until finding me made me move toward the car, pull the door open, and get in. I sat in the passenger seat without looking at him, closed the door, and we drove off. He started to wind through the outskirts of town, making turns without using his signal. It scared me because my father always wears a seatbelt, goes the speed limit, and he always, always signals. His life is all safety and stability. That's probably why he got into selling homeowners insurance. Everything has to be protected. He took the business with the Shadow Club pretty hard last October. I guess it drove him nuts that he couldn't protect me from me. Your mother and I have been called in to see your principal tomorrow, he finally said. But I'm sure you already know that. I can be quiet, he shouted. It caught me completely by surprise. He had raised his voice to me before, but never so suddenly. Never with such rage behind his words. For an instant, I thought he might hit me, even though he had never hit me before. You're not here to talk. You are here to listen. Do you understand me? I nodded. Yes, sir. I couldn't remember ever calling him sir before. Your mother and I know what's been happening to that Alec kid. We know about the incident today, too. I opened my mouth to say something, but he threw me a sharp gaze and I closed it again. The school is going to try to expel you. You know that, don't you? They might even bring you up on charges. Although I hadn't wanted to think about it, yes, I knew. I want you to tell me what evidence they have that it was you. I considered that question carefully. Nothing, really. I mean, there was this button for my shirt on Alex's driveway, but I didn't put it in. Circumstantial, he said. Is that all? That and the fact that I knew about the penicillin. He weighed the thought. Well, then they don't have much of a case. There's something off about this. Something not just in the tone of his voice, but in the pattern of his thoughts. If there are any witnesses, he said, it will be your word against theirs. The heater in the car was on full blast, but I shivered all the same. He thinks I did it. It wasn't just Green, or the other kids at my school. My father thought I was the kind of kid who would spike an allergic kid's chili with penicillin. Tears welled up in my eyes. I didn't even think about holding them back. But I did turn away from him, for fear that he'd think they were tears of guilt. There are lawyers who specialize in this sort of thing, he went on. They can't expel you. You're innocent until proven guilty, no matter what you've done. No matter what I've done? I turned to him. My vision mercifully blurred, so I didn't have to see the way he looked at me. Dad, how can you talk like this? Then his jaw hardened, and I could sense that rage inside him again, but also an intense sadness. Tears being contagious in my family, his eyes began to fill. We're talking about your future here, Jared. We're talking about your life. You want to save it? You tell them you're innocent, and you stick to it like glue to the very end. But I am innocent. He took a long look at me then. So long that I had to remind him to look back at the road. He hit the brakes, and his trusty anti-lock brake system ground us to a halt halfway through an empty intersection. He backed up and waited for the light to change. I didn't do any of those things, I said, trying so hard to be sincere it sounded like a lie. You know that, Dad, don't you? Don't you? He sighed and nodded reluctantly. I couldn't tell whether he believed me or whether he was just showing his approval for an earnest lie. Well, he said, all the more reason to tough it out. If anyone can sleep after a drive like that, he's a better man than me. I lie awake that night, my head caught in endless loops of conversations that I'd never had. All the things I could have said to my father that would have convinced him I was telling the truth. All the things I could say to Alec to make him turn his investigation and all his hatred elsewhere. Then I started thinking about what would happen if Alex's allergic reaction was much worse than anyone thought. What if he didn't make it? What if he died because some stupid idiot poisoned his chili? And what if this whole world was convinced it was me? That is the type of thing they put on the news. The type of thing they put on the cover of 100 magazines to show how very screwed up some kids are. And it isn't terrible. And it isn't all because of TV and movies and Barney the Dinosaur and parents who sell insurance. And then they turn off their TVs and throw away the magazine and go on with their lives, thinking everything is so simple. Except it's not. Because if your own parents can't see into your head and know that there's someone in there who might not be all that innocent, but at least is innocent most of the time. If my own parents can't see what's always been good in me, then nothing can ever be simple again.